again. Welcome to another episode of Around the Mic on Sojo 104.9. Welcome back. If this is your first episode, we've got several others, so you can always check those out. But we welcome you to Around the Mic if this is your first one.
Welcome.
This is a little.
That was creepy. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Around the Mic. This is a little bonus content that we provide for our listeners, where we can expand on topics that we just don't have time to on the air. And yeah. So it's Heather DeLuca with you, and with me is Chelsea Corinne, midday host, and we've got another round of The Bitter End today, and we're also going to play a game called Thank You Next.
I like it.
We're both sort of working ponytails, buns, top knot
it's
situations
raining out.
Today.
It's like pouring. It's and raining. So you came in today looking like that. I came in looking like this. I'm wearing a Marvel like t-shirt, long sleeve t-shirt, and Heather's dressed like nicely and has makeup on. So I went out to my car, to my purse, and grabbed like mascara and eyeliner, so at least I didn't look completely atrocious.
Yeah, but what winds up happening is, because look at her wings, her eyeliner. I just don't understand. Like, this little bit that I did on the side here, I was crying in my mirror trying to get it right. And she just is just like, yeah.
Practice. Lots
I
and
do
lots
practice,
of practice,
and I make a mess out of my face. I wind up looking like a raccoon. Do you know how many YouTube tutorials I've watched? I just can't make it happen. Okay, so the first thing I want to ask Chelsea about today is I saw on the Hidden Valley Ranch. Yes, I follow them on Instagram. They have released a miniature keg.
They came out with this over Christmas time.
Of ranch dressing.
Yes. I'm not a ranch girl.
So Hidden Valley Ranch salad dressing is, it's like the OG, right? I mean, it goes on everything. You can mix it into marinades. You can just make it as a dip. You can put it on your salad. It just never not works. So my question for you is, if you could have any condiment In a miniature keg size, what would you choose?
Oh, my God. That's a hard question. Because I know some people would say ranch, because a lot of people are ranch people.
People dip their pizza in
Everything
ranch dressing.
Ranch.
Are
my
you a dipper, a ranch dipper with your pizza?
Mozzarella sticks I've seen people do.
That makes more sense to me than the pizza. I sort of sticks. Can't get behind that. Some people do it with their wings, too, and I'm a blue cheese girl.
If it's honey barbecue, it's ranch.
Ranch?
If it's buffalo, it's blue cheese. And like a lot of blue cheese. But oh, condiment, I don't know. I would maybe mayo. I love mayo.
See, my mind immediately go, like, I know exactly what I would want.
Or maybe sriracha. Or I like the chipotle flavored Tabasco sauce. I don't know. What would yours be?
Miracle Whip.
Oh, I don't like Miracle Whip like, as much as mayo. Like regular, like Hellman's mayo.
Well, And I like that, too. I know it sounds weird. If I have, like, a Kaiser roll and it's fresh and I'm really making, like, lots of turkey, lots of cheese, lots of tomato, it has to be straight up regular mayonnaise. But I discovered Miracle Whip by accident at my friend's rehearsal dinner was more of, like, just a home thing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't at, like, a restaurant or anything. And so I picked up on a knife what I thought was mayonnaise. And then when I bit into my sandwich, well, lo and behold, something tangy hit my taste buds. And I didn't like it. And I was like, I can't finish eating this. So I remade another one with mustard. And then I got home. And the next time I had a sandwich, I wanted the Miracle Whip. I was
That's
like craving
funny.
It.
I don't think I've ever had Miracle Whip, to be honest.
I just love it. And I will dip my french fries in it. I will put it on anything.
Well, I'm the same way with regular mayo. And, like, so I'll dip french fries in mayo. Absolutely. I put mayo on fish sticks and on, like, fried fish in general.
Yes.
And I kind of like it better than tartar sauce. I put ketchup and mayo on them. But I just am a condiment fanatic to begin with. Like,
so
I love ketchup. Put ketchup on my eggs. I put ketchup on my macaroni and cheese. I put mustard on my grilled cheese. I just love condiments.
So do I. I don't even necessarily know sometimes that I, like, the food that I'm eating, I think the condiment, like that's just the vessel to get the condiment into my mouth.
Sour cream too.
Sour cream
and cream cheese. I could eat sour cream out of the container. Same thing with cream cheese.
So could I. Sometimes I will chip away at it with just like the quarter of a knife until there's almost nothing left.
That's
I should
so
have
funny.
Just picked up a spoon and eaten it. So if you could have any condiment in a mini keg size or even bigger than that, with you at all times?
Oh, that's such a good question.
A disgusting amount of condiment. What would it be? You can let us know by tweeting us at Sojo1049FM on Twitter, or you can simply comment in the comment box below, because we actually filmed this for YouTube, so you can actually watch us in the studio making these
hand
graphics,
gestures.
Hand gestures of kegs, miniature
like the
kegs,
like the
or kegs.
Miniature like the Heineken kegs. That's what it looks like.
That's what
they
it looks like.
Heineken kegs.
So yeah, check that out. It's on social media if you want to. So we're going to jump right into our next segment, which is called Thank You Next. Thank you, Ariana Grande, for sort of bringing this back into the fold, because now it's become the new Bye Felicia.
Yes.
Thank You Next. And I really like the song because I think it's the most like productive breakup song I could hear.
True.
Where she's not kind of man-hating. She's almost saying, I'm grateful for this experience. It's going to teach me something.
Exactly.
And then I'm going to move on from here. So she's not hating on her exes. She's almost like thanking them for the experience.
Yeah.
But I thought, gosh, there are so many things that I've sort of put the hand up recently and been like, thank you, next. I'm so over it.
Okay.
So the very first thing I'm saying thank you next to.
Okay.
The Bachelor.
And The Bachelorette?
Bachelorette.
Oh,
Bachelor
yes.
in Paradise. Anything. ABC, please. People who watch it, please. I don't understand. After all these seasons, they have to know that the women who get onto The Bachelor, they just look so opportunistic.
Oh,
they
it's so
look
bad.
Why are they okay with one man kissing 20 other people? If you were dating somebody and you found out that they were also sort of semi-dating or semi-hooking up
20
with 20 other people. And it's perpetuating catfights
well,
between women. I don't like it.
Have you seen that there's a meme now going around of The Bachelor saying, you know, when your woman gets mad at you for dating, you know, another girl, but they'll sit and watch it all night long. They'll watch and binge watch The Bachelor. I've never seen, I'm proud to say it, I've never seen an episode of The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. Never
what,
watched
What happens is I wind up watching the very first episode where they all roll up one by one in the limousines.
Yeah.
And it's gotten goofier over the years. Somebody, you know, shows up dressed like a baby shark. Someone, you know, shows up dressed like Gritty from the Flyers, like a cowboy. A girl this season even faked an Australian accent because she thought maybe The Bachelor would think that that was sexy.
Oh,
and then
God,
I,
people are so desperate.
And then somehow I watch the last episode to see who they pick.
Yeah.
And I do get sucked in a little bit to the speeches.
Mm.
But, you know, and then when it's The Bachelorette, it's also misappropriating like Me Too in saying, well, I'm a woman. I want to be able to have the right to date 20 men if
yeah.
I want to. You know, it's a double standard. It still does not make you look good. And ABC.
It doesn't look for the men either.
Oh, you're such terrible people for perpetuating this. I hate The Bachelor. Thank you. Next. Do you have anything?
I do. As a millennial, this is a thank you next moment for me, because I've realized in recent times, people will call the younger group of people as millennials, and they're the ones right now that people are hating on the most, but they're not millennials. So getting millennials confused with Gen, I think it's iGen. So iGens.
Who are the iGeners?
Exactly. They're the people in college that everybody hates right now. So if it's a college kid, they're not a millennial. Stop lumping us in with these kids because they're terrible human beings.
So give me an age range 90, for millennials.
Yes. Yeah, so millennials end at 94. So 90, if you're born 95 and if you're born
you're
in 95,
an
you're an iGen. Because
okay.
I know this. My brother is a millennial. He's the last of the millennials. And like the last Mohicans. And then his girlfriend is born in 95. She is an iGen with my youngest brother is an
so
iGen.
So would I be the me generation? Because I was born in the late 70s and came through the 80s growing up. And then
I don't know where millennials
does it
started.
If you are born in the 80s, then that makes you a Gen Xer, right?
No, I think late 80s is when millennials are. We're looking this up real quick because I know it's millennials are a lot older than what people think they are, and the years are a little different. They are saying the 80s and the 90s. So
okay.
They're saying actually mid to late 70s, so 77 to 94.
That makes me a millennial?
That makes you a millennial.
No.
Yeah.
Well, who's a Gen Xer then? Generation X, Generation X.
Gen X is, let's see.
They have to be people born after 1983. Like, I think Britney Spears is like a Gen Xer.
Gen X are, why isn't this the Wikipedia page isn't the same as the other one?
Darn you, Wikipedia.
Yeah, they don't. Where's the date? Gen X has from 65 to 76.
65 to 76.
Yeah, my mom is a Gen Xer.
And then prior to that is the baby boomers.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I need a flow chart.
So you're a millennial.
Yay! <Woo-hoo! laughs>
But it gets so annoying because people will complain about college kids right now because they're kind of whiny and annoying for the most part.
Entitled. I'll say it.
And then people say, oh, it's because they're a millennial. But they're not. So you're giving people like me and like Heather
a bad name.
So thank you. Next, stop confusing millennials with iGens because I don't want to be associated with iGens.
Thank you, next, avocado toast. I am so tired of seeing Instagram pictures of avocado toast. It's actually, I see too many of them. I can taste it in my mouth, and it's making me not want.
Who do you follow that posts that much toast. Avocado toast?
Every girl that I know.
I love avocado toast. I haven't had it in a while, but it's good.
Yeah.
But see, I put it on, put salt and pepper on it and craisins on my avocado
what?
Toast. It's so good. Oh,
I don't think there's any bad way to make avocado toast. I guess you just do it. You just pile it up and do whatever. I'm just tired of it. Thank you, next. Avocado toast. I'm over it.
Well, now you have me thinking of a food item, and it's something that you'd make.
Ooh, what?
I guess you call them protein bowls, but also like smoothie bowls.
Yeah.
Thank you, next. First of all, they're overpriced. They're so expensive. And it's just a smoothie kind
in
of
a
mixed
bowl.
Up. And then the toppings on top of
Can
it.
Can I also tell
in
you?
In a bowl. And then it melts so fast.
I don't
and
like
then you're
the
eating just water.
I don't like the places that put too much ice in
yeah.
it. Because then what happens is it freezes all the fruit and the stuff on top of it.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. I don't like things that are too cold
no.
in my mouth.
Yep. Thank you, next, to smoothie bowls, protein, whatever you call them. No.
Okay.
Bye.
Thank you, next. Beauty influencer wars on YouTube.
Yes.
Gosh, I cannot. YouTube beauty influencers, you've bought into your own hype.
Oh, God.
You
yeah.
are creating drama and telling yourself that you are more important than you are. It's
Fair.
Makeup. You got to stop ripping on each other. It's makeup.
It's not
I'm tired
that
of seeing
serious.
This. I've had to unfollow people like Tati. And
did you see her recent video? She's taking a step back.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh. I cannot film 5 videos a week. I cannot for one more moment talk about new mascara and foundation.
Which, you don't have to say anything. And that's what annoys me about the YouTube
You don't
community.
Have to say anything. Just
nobody's
do it.
Nobody's going to care.
Just
I promise
do
you.
It.
They've shown if you take a step back and you don't post videos for a while and you don't even say anything, you just change it, your followers aren't going to leave. I promise. But they do it because then that video gets a lot of views.
But then you see, like, Jaclyn Hill. There's Jaclyn Hill divorce drama videos.
Every week.
There are entire channels dedicated
I watch
to
them.
The
drama
tea.
Channel. Yeah, I watch drama channels.
Yeah,
Peter Mon is my
like
man.
It's like literally enough already.
I love
there
Peter Mon.
There was one YouTuber. She's not she's not a beauty influencer. She's like a lifestyle influencer. And she, I guess, suffered a miscarriage, which
okay.
is horrible.
Yeah.
But she said, this is the third time I've tried to film this video and I couldn't get through it. So by the fourth time that you film it, to me, you're looking like you're crying crocodile tears.
Yeah.
Because you've rehearsed it so many times and
yes.
tried to film it so many times. It comes across as disingenuous.
Yes.
Keep that private to yourself.
Yep.
But the ones where they're fighting with each other and I saw so-and-so, you know, at a party and they just totally ignored me. And it just starts this, I just don't, thank you, next.
Thank you, next, to internet trolls. As somebody who enjoys mean comments, I'm not going to lie. Like, I love when people make mean comments about me. I live for it. But people nowadays are like, they're just mean. They're just
excessively
cruel.
Mean.
It's just cruel. It immediately goes into attacks. You can't have a conversation with anybody anymore. And it was, I remember when like AIM and stuff first came out, and my mom would always tell us the one thing is if you're not going to say it, if you don't say it to somebody, you wouldn't say it to their face.
Right.
Don't say it online.
Yeah.
And then that kind of whole rule went out the window.
It's Facebook bravery.
It's just like everybody will say anything to anybody that they don't know. Strange. They stalk their pages and they'll say, oh, well, I get it. Like, I get why your man left you because they'll see that they're divorced. I'm like, that's just what? What are you that sad of a person that
so,
you have to do that in your life? Like, how sad are you?
There's a podcast that became very popular called Dirty John. It was a true story, ended up becoming a Bravo television limited TV series
oh, okay.
event with Connie Britton and Eric Bana about this man who made it his life's work to manipulate and and pull the wool over women's eyes. Like he would marry them and then like destroy their lives. Ooh. He would take all of their money and then threaten them. And he was so smart and he did this so many times. Well, the series is based on his final wife, Deborah. And you know, he almost killed her daughter. He almost killed her daughter. It was a fight to the finish, and he lost, luckily. But there were so many women on social media attacking Deborah for staying with him, for taking him in, for finding information that may have indicated he was a user. And I'm like, really? You know, you don't see...
It happens.
You don't have the suspicion that somebody is doing that until you find proof. Like, you don't know. You just think somebody is coming into your life being wonderful to you. You don't realize that they have ulterior motives. She's lucky she personally didn't lose her life. So thank you, Next Mean Trolls. Can we go back to the age of social media where it was just like sharing pictures and reconnecting with friends?
Like cat videos. I'm okay with that. Like post pictures of your dog and dog videos all day long. Give me that. I don't need to. I don't care about what your political opinions are. I don't care about how angry you are at whatever person, and then you delete the post five minutes later.
And don't use it to be mean to people. If you wouldn't say it to someone's face, and I dare you, some of you social media cowards out there, to say it to the person, like to their face, you wouldn't be so brave.
You'd probably be punched.
Guarantee it. And finally, thank you, Next. I got to say thank you, Next, to Ariana Grande. Ironically, not her, but Ariana Grande posing on all fours in her music videos, looking like she's either about to be walked like a dog or violated from the rear. Okay. This cooing and eyeing, she just released this video for a song called Seven Rings.
Yeah.
And it is nothing but her on the countertop of an island, rocking back and forth on all fours. And it's every video with her whipping the ponytail around. Ariana, you're so much more talented than that. You've got the voice. You don't have to play this, like, ingenue, this sex kitten all the time. No. It doesn't have to be all the time.
Especially because she's so adorable and she's so funny. Because I remember when she first came out on the scene on Nickelodeon, she was on the show Victorious.
And then Sam and Cat, which I loved.
She was so funny on both of those shows. Her personality is like completely different to how she portrays herself in their music videos. I'm like, you could be more than just that.
You can
do it. You could be the cute, funny person. It will probably help your career. Like, not that you need help in your career, but it won't hurt your career,
I should say. New music video is just playing into every sort of stereotype about her. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, girl, Ariana, thank you, Next. Do something a little more mature next time.
Agreed.
That's all I'm saying. Agreed. Okay, well, this brings us to our final segment of the day. This is something new that we started last week. It's called The Bitter End, where we explore celebrity divorces that were super high profile in the media and may have even cost one or both of the stars gazillions of dollars. So last week, we started off with the Jeff Bezos divorce, the Amazon founder, and he's splitting. So this week, I want to talk about what went wrong between Tom Cruise... and Katie Holmes.
I mean, can't that be summed up into legitimately one word?
Scientology?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take this back to April of 2005. I love Katie Holmes, too. I'm actually really glad that she broke free of that situation. Yeah. We'll get into that in a minute. So April 2005, they meet.
Yeah.
This is post-Tom Cruise's divorce from Nicole Kidman.
Okay.
Which... she took 50% of his fortune because there was no prenup and they were married in California. So he had already been through that. There were rumors that because of Tom Cruise's affiliation with the Church of Scientology, and they actually think procreating gets in the way of a Scientologist's studies.
Okay.
There were rumors that when Nicole Kidman had a few miscarriages, that the Church of Scientology may have actually forced a pregnancy termination on her. Again, rumors.
But
delving more into Scientology, like I have in the past 5 years, it's very fascinating to me, not in a way that I would like to become a member of it. I just, it tends to be a very hypocritical religion.
Yeah.
So And Tom Cruise is basically the, he's like the figurehead. He's like the vice president of Scientology. He is the most high profile celebrity personality that they have next to John Travolta. So, you know, Nicole leaves Tom mostly because their two adopted children, Connor and Isabella, were becoming more involved in Scientology. Nicole was pushing back against it. And she was declared in Scientology what they call a suppressive person, meaning you are poorly influencing people who are in Scientology. You're bringing us down. Your negativity. We're declaring you a suppressive person. Ugh. You now cannot have any connection with anyone in the Church of Scientology. Yeah. You're excommunicated. You're gone. Nicole Kidman rarely, if ever, sees those two kids because they're so entrenched in Scientology. That whole life was gone for her. Katie Holmes was one of several people that were interviewed by the Church of Scientology to date Tom Cruise to bring favorable publicity back to his life after that Nicole Kidman thing. There was a brief thing with Penelope Cruz in between. He tried to indoctrinate her into Scientology. She wanted nothing to do with it. Separated. Sofia Vergara.
Really?
Was with him for a few months until they tried to pull her into Scientology. She said no. So Tom Cruise tries to get with Keri Russell during the filming of Mission Impossible 3. That doesn't pan out. Katie Holmes comes into the fold. They are engaged 3 months after the fact. And I think we remember the couch jumping moment on Oprah Winfrey with Tom freaking out about Katie. A year later, they have a daughter, Suri.
Yes.
In 2006, born the same day I got my gallbladder removed. So I always commemorate the death of my gallbladder on Suri Cruz's birthday.
That's
You're
so
welcome.
Funny.
Fast forward to a year later, Katie and Tom wed. And Katie, who was raised Catholic, separates from the Catholic Church, fully becomes a Scientologist. They are married in a Scientology ceremony in Italy. A ceremony in which Leah Remini, this is her breaking point, where she decides she's going to ask where the founder, David Miscavige, who took over for L. Ron Hubbard in the Church of Scientology, his wife suddenly goes missing. No one sees her. Leah Remini, very good friends with her, doesn't understand how at the wedding of the biggest star in Scientology isn't present. She says, where is Shelley? Where is Shelley? Why isn't she at this wedding? Katie Holmes and Tom Cruise write a letter. They write a letter to the top tiers of the Church of Scientology to go into her file saying she is becoming disruptive. They write a letter of disruption against saying that she ruined the wedding because she was asking where Shelley Miscavige is. So now at this point, we know Katie Holmes writes one of these letters on Leah Remini. She's really in. I didn't know all this until like after the fact.
Yeah.
So fast forward to Suri Cruz being 5 years old. In the Church of Scientology, there is a branch called the Sea Org. It's a sea organization where they send the kids to take part in manual labor. Scientology believes that children are just small adults. So Suri Cruz, when we would see her on the street wearing her flip-flops in the middle of December, that's a choice that Suri Cruz made. And she's an adult, so she should be able to do that.
Oh, Lord.
That's why. So it's all manual labor. They go, they get shipped to these camps, boats sometimes, where they are forced to work for no money. There's no child labor laws. And the reason why Scientology is able to get away with this is because they're tax exempt. So they can operate like a religion. And this is Katie Holmes saying, I don't want my daughter going into that Sea Org. Fights with Tom Cruise, says, this is it. I'm out of here. She literally has to escape.
Yeah.
The Church of Scientology in the middle of the night with her the help of her father, who was a lawyer, who sets up bank accounts for her, pseudo identities for her and Suri Cruz in New York City. They establish a place of residence for 6 months under her name so that when Katie leaves with Suri Cruz, Tom cannot come and get her for like kidnapping their child.
Oh, my gosh.
She subsequently winds up getting $10 million to stay silent, gag order, but guess what? Is declared a suppressive person. Now, her daughter, who is now no longer a Scientologist as well, this is why Tom Cruise no longer sees his daughter, Suri.
Which is such a, like, and I remember when they were married.
What does Katie Holmes do? She returns to Catholicism.
Yeah. I remember when they were married, too, it was that he wouldn't let her or and wouldn't himself, like, there was no, there's no also holding the child. Like, they don't, you weren't allowed to hold a child and, like, you know, a kitten as a baby. Like, that's an important thing with all animals. You have to, that connection with the mother and being held is extremely important in child development.
Not in Scientology, because that's taking you away from your studies. You can't climb the bridge. You can't get to that next level of enlightenment if your time is taken up caring for your child. That child is just a former adult being coming through in the next form of life.
It amazes me when it comes to Scientology how big of an organization it is, and it's just, and you read about it, and there's a church in my town. There's the Scientology church, which I kind of refuse to call it a church. It's not a church. It's their whatever you want to call it, clubhouse.
They call it an ideal org.
Whatever it is, there's one in my town. But it's just like you read about it, and you're thinking, what sane person is doing this? Besides the fact of just the absolute desire to feel like they belong to something. So, and I think that has a lot to do with a lot of these things.
What it does is it offers to help you clear your mind, exercise actually, any demons, any negative thoughts that are holding you back. It teaches you that because you lived in another life, you have the tools inside your brain to do anything that you want to do. So it removes all barriers from your life. You can accomplish anything. Tom Cruise says it cured him of his dyslexia. That's great. If there are principles that I think that there are in any religion, there's a basis of, you know, you can, you know, treat others the way you would want to be treated. Yeah. The golden rule, you know, Kabbalah teaches you to be very responsible for the energy that you're putting out into the world because it believes in karma. And if you're putting out negative energy, that's what you're going to receive back. So I think there's good in every religion. Okay. But when it manipulates families to the point where you can no longer be with your child because they're a suppressive person because they don't want to participate in the Church of Scientology anymore, it destroys families. So that is how Katie Holmes had
to. I never knew the full story.
And
amazing.
Think about how silent she was during the five years that they were married. You didn't hear a peep out of her. She was barely allowed to speak. They didn't want her talking.
She also, I also noticed that when she first started dating Tom Cruise, the only few years, and they say this with stressful situations, you see it with presidents, they age rapidly. Mm-hmm. Katie Holmes, I think,
she
aged
did
so fast.
She
and I
did.
Think it was the stress of that situation and of that marriage and of that lifestyle that, like, ruined her.
There are, there's a book called Movie Star.
Okay.
It's a novel. But there are rumors that Katie Holmes actually co-wrote that book.
Oh.
And it was written under, like, a pseudonym?
Pen name.
So that's good to read.
I want to check that
out. And also The Arrangement, the TV series that was on the E! Network, which sort of mimics how the biggest star in the world, you know, shopped for a new girlfriend for the cameras and pulls her into this religion, this cult.
It's a cult. And I hate that Tom Cruise is in it because I am a huge Tom Cruise fan.
God.
Tom Cruise is such a likable actor. He's a good actor. He does his own stunts. And, like, I'm like, that's just, if you just got rid of that one thing out of your life,
really,
it would be so amazing.
But he really thinks what he's doing is helping to better the planet. They call it clearing the planet. They want to rid the world of bad and leave behind good. And the only way that they can do that is through these practices of Scientology. I went to see Mission Impossible Fallout by myself on a Saturday, and I didn't even tell anybody that I went because I was so embarrassed. I felt like such a hypocrite saying, like, Tom Cruise isn't getting my money.
He's
I gave it to
so
him.
He's so good, though.
I know.
He's so good.
And David Miscavige, who is the head of the church now, he's from Cherry Hill.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
If you want to learn more about Scientology, if you want to see Scientology exposed for what it really is. There's a great HBO documentary that was made by Paul Haggis, who is a director. He actually wrote the film Crash that won an Academy Award. He co-wrote A Beautiful Mind, I think.
Love that movie.
He left the Church of Scientology and made a documentary called Going Clear. And, of course, I recommend the the Lee Remini series.
I never saw that either.
Scientology in the Aftermath.
Really,
but, you know, I'm glad Katie Holmes broke free of that. As much as I love, and she seems happy. They photograph her in New York City. You see Suri wearing the proper footwear
attire.
And attire during the winter. She's living a life, and it seems like she's with Jamie Foxx and happy. So,
but her and Jamie Foxx, though, probably will never get married. He says he won't marry, but she's okay with it. But if she's okay with it, that's, at least she's happy.
I would be so scared if I were her to ever get married again.
True.
And I think it's ironic that Jamie Foxx talks about booths, Scientology booths, being set up on the set of Collateral, which he was in with Tom Cruise. Mm-hmm. And now he's married to Tom Cruise's. Well, he's like with Tom Cruise's ex-wife. Anyway, so Tom, you know, if you ever want to live happily ever after, you got to... I just pray for the day he sees the light and maybe gets out himself.
I know there was a rumor that he was about to get out.
The church will collapse.
Yeah.
The church will collapse. Again, this is nothing. I just want to disclose this. Nothing against people who practice Scientology. I'm sure that just like any religion, you seek something and you seek enlightenment. And I say, go forth. But as with any religion, you should do your research beforehand. And this is just an optic observation of what we saw play out in the media with Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. So if you have any comments on what we discussed today on this episode of Around the Mic, then please tweet us. We're all over social media, Sojo1049FM. Again, we film our podcast now, so you can head to Sojo1049 on YouTube. Love for you to give us the subscribe so you always know when we post new episodes. And Chelsea Corinne, you can listen to weekdays from 10 to 3 on Sojo1049. I'm Heather DeLuca, and I'm with you 3 to 7 weekdays, and we will catch you next time on hopefully what will be a more jovial ending to the next episode of Around the Mic.
Peace.